Pulse Asia not ruling out changes in voter preference on Election Day, despite its latest survey result showing Ferdinand Marcos Jr. still enjoying a big lead. We'll break down the numbers with Professor Jose Ramon Albert of the Philippine Institute for Development Studies. President Duterte will not endorse a possible successor for the May 9 polls. The prosecutor general isn't withdrawing its drug cases against detained Senator Laila de Lima, despite the recantation of two witnesses. And President Duterte orders an immediate stop to online cockfighting. I'm Rain Musngi. Dateline Philippines begins right now. For those of you watching on YouTube and Facebook, nice to have you with us. Topping the midday news, polling firm Pulse Asia not ruling out drastic changes to voter preference, even with the campaign period now on its final stretch. Pulse Asia President Ronnie Holmes says previous polls show changes may happen come Election Day. He adds direct voter contact could prove effective and final messages from candidates can still sway voters.
We do know in the past that you have about maybe 2 out of 10 voters deciding only on election day or the day before election. And that's a substantive portion. So since the events cannot be predicted and there are other movements on the ground, including what the supporters of some candidates are saying is an intensified house-to-house campaign, this is the first time, and it would the measure of that one would be the actual election results.
Based on Pulse Asia's final pre-election survey, the son and namesake of the late dictator Ferdinand Marcos still leads the race with a 56% preference rating. A distant second is Vice President Lenny Robredo, while Senator Manny Pacquiao has overtaken Manila Mayor Isko Moreno for the third spot. The tandem of Vice President Robredo and Senator Kiko Pangilinan are wooing voters in Aklan. Jervis Manahan joins us with the latest. Jervis, what do you have for us?
Yes, sir. Lenny Robredo is back here in her bailiwick of Iloilo to thank her volunteers. She's barnstorming Western Visayas again with stops in Aklan and Antique here in Iloilo and later tonight, Bacolod. This is the final week of the campaign and supporters are not disheartened by surveys. Robredo still at second place. This is the third time the Vice President is visiting Iloilo. During her first visit, thousands of residents welcomed her. Coincidentally, the camp of her rival Bongbong Marcos is also in Iloilo, where they're in the Avante. But they are in the town of Gimbal, which is quite far from the city. VP Lenny Robredo has secured the support of Ilonggo local officials, and it is expected that Western Visayas will deliver votes for her. Robredo's schedule remains jam-packed on the final week of the campaign as she has 8 events lined up in different provinces. Meanwhile, Senator Kiko Pangilinan is holding his separate events in Quezon City. Their camp says they're setting up and it's not over until it's over. Back to you, Rain.
Jervis, when are Robredo and Pangilinan expected to come together again? Is it going to be in the Visayas in the coming days?
Yes, they will be having in Mindanao for the next 2 days before they go back to Naga and some parts of Bicol on Friday. And they will be holding their meeting de avance together this coming Saturday in Metro Manila. Rain.
All right. Thank you so much for that update. Jervis Manahan from Iloilo. Now, with just 6 days to go before Filipinos cast their ballots, does Vice President Lenny Robredo still have enough time to overcome the huge lead of Ferdinand Marcos Jr. in pre-election surveys? Let's delve deeper into the numbers. We're joined now by Professor Jose Ramon Albert. He's Senior Research Fellow at the Philippine Institute for Development Studies. Professor, good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
You are a policy researcher and statistician. Have you had a chance to look into the most recent surveys for the National Post? Can you kindly share with us some of the insights you have gleaned off of the surveys and maybe other data metrics as well?
Well, you know, Pulse Asia surveys tend to be very good at predicting the election outcome, at least if they're done a month before the elections, at least in the past, of course. You know, there's no assurance that whatever happened in the past will continue in the present and in the future. No? But, you know, if we're thinking of track records-wise, Pulse Asia and also SWS have done fairly good at, you know, at monitoring the fluctuations in voter preferences, because you know, people tend to be fickle about about their chosen candidates. But in this case, I mean, it might seem as though, you know, there's a lot of movement on the ground. I mean, in a way, there was. I mean, when Vice President Robredo started off, I think she was less than 10%, you know, way back in September or early October. But then it started to rise. And, you know, so where the only question is whether it will be enough for her to actually, you know, eventually overtake Senator Bongbong Marcos, and that remains to be seen. I mean, of course, anything is always possible, but and some people would suggest, look at Google Trends, look at Facebook sentiment analysis. These are social media data. However, there are flaws essentially with these kinds of big data. They may be big in terms of the numbers, because you know, in a way, it unlike surveys which only cover several thousands of people. However, social media data was, and big data for that matter, was never designed to be representative. They're what are known as exhaust, data exhaust from the use of technology. When people use their mobiles, when they start Googling, you know, we give information. However, the question there is how much of people are actually on the net? And even when they're on the net, how much of people do actually know how to Google? You know, so this is the issue when we're trying to use Google Trends and even Facebook sentiment analysis. People would always have a lot of respect for, oh, there's this Facebook sentiment analysis, but you know, it all depends on who posts publicly their sentiments, and then you can try to you know, do some analytics on that. However, again, the issue there is the lack of representation. Just like you know, polls that are done on SMS or on the internet, they were never designed to generate representative data. So we have to be cautious. They will maybe suggest some changes, maybe something is happening on the ground, some changes here and there. But you might say, oh well, overall, how come things are not moving? Well, it's still possible things are moving, except that you're you know, when you're moving, some people may be shifting still, you know. But overall, things are not changing, and so this is where, in a way, the Senator Marcos is in a way lucky that so far several months have suggested that his number seem to be steady. Now, why are they steady? There are a number of reasons. I mean, he does have his own loyal set of voters. But at the same time, when I started examining, you know, not just examining the data of Pulse Asia and SWS and other organizations that are doing all of these surveys, but I've actually been asking people on the ground. You know, I mean, also, you know, when I ride on a grab car, or when I take a taxi. Or I just talk with people on, you know, the suki in the palengke or whatever. I ask them information, but I try to make sure I don't tell them that who I will be voting for. You know, I try to tell them I'm undecided. Well, partly it's also been true because I myself have been not fully decided yet on who until the last few days, maybe, on who I would be voting for. But when I was asking people and, you know, and showing them that I'm a disinterested person, I'm not there to campaign for anyone. And besides, I'm being part of government, a government agency, I'm not supposed to campaign. I started asking, why are you going to vote for this person or that person? And I was surprised. Most of the people I talked with, it may not also be representative, but most of the people I talked with are, who are voting for Bongbong, for the Senator Marcos, are actually strong Sara supporters. They even told me if Sara were part of the race, they would not be voting for Bongbong. They would be voting for Sara. So for me, that's the main storyline. It's really not even Bongbong going to win, but really the strength of Sara Duterte, who really inherited the popularity of her father.
We'll talk about the strategy in the campaigns in a moment, but I wanted to delve into a little bit of part of that. The survey seemed to have successfully predicted the election results for president in the last 30 years. But this time, we have the likes of Google Trends predicting a different result from the surveys. It has successfully predicted the results of the last two Philippine elections, since it's only been then that Google has been around, and along with the U.S. and the French elections. People are citing the margin of error for certain classes, or are still quite a few undecided. We hear from Pulse Asia this morning about 2 out of 10 voters are still undecided. What is the likelihood that the surveys are wrong this time?
Well, to be quite honest, my hunch tells me, because as I was telling you, I don't even just look at these surveys. I also ask people on the ground. And unfortunately, for the vice president right now, I would say that, her chances don't seem to be very large for the changes to happen. It seems to me, I mean, even if people say that they're undecided, they already have someone in mind. As I said, a month before the elections, people already tend to make up their minds. You might say, as I said, there might be other metrics from social media, but they're not representative, So you may be actually, to use the words of Nate Silver, a statistician who has been relatively successful at predicting elections in the past, except for the Trump election. Nate Silver once, when asked big data, you may be having the noise may be actually in big data may be rising much faster than the signal. Meaning, if you're trying to predict this for the elections, I don't think you, even in terms of levels, you were suggesting earlier that Google Trends managed to predict Duterte's election, but not in the levels. it is a different storyline altogether. Of course, again, it might be possible that there might be some discrepancies, but the fact is, even before Google Trends during the time in 2016 for the Duterte election, the polls were also saying the same thing, that there was a big shift from I think it was originally Vice President Binay to Senator Po, and then all of a sudden Duterte started really catching up with them and leading. So there's nothing surprising. The only thing now is that the surveys and Google Trends and Facebook sentiment analysis tend to be different. And as a statistician, as a professional statistician, I would really put my hunches more on national surveys that are designed to be representative. Of course, there might be some issues, when you're doing surveys, if you're designing them, there may be some flaws in operations, survey operations. It might be possible there are what are known as non-sampling errors. If you're just, again, looking at the way Pulse Asia has been doing its methods, they have not changed over the past 20, 30 years. And so if they haven't changed their methods, and the same with SWS and other, the organizations that have very good repute, that's why they have reputations, because they have track records. So despite whatever some non-sampling errors that might happen, by and large, the overall storyline suggests that they are fairly good at predicting election outcomes.
And this is probably your response to assertions that the boomers and the classes C, D, E are overrepresented in the surveys, and the millennials and classes A, B are underrepresented. One analyst, of course, claims that another presidential candidate would win if the flaws of the Pulse Asia survey were rectified. So do you agree with that?
Well, the thing is, you, of course, again, you will need to benchmark what you mean by ABCDE, the socioeconomic classifications. I'll tell you honestly, these socioeconomic classifications are not standard across market research organizations. So even if the Marketing Opinion Research Society, MORES, suggests that people, that all these organizations should do it this way, I'm not too sure whether they're actually, all of these classifications are not actually standard. The SWS and Pulse Asia, as far as I know, ABC is 10%. AB out of the ABC is just 1%. So even if that 1% goes for one candidate, it will not matter what's 1%. You know, it will just change the number slightly. So I beg to differ. There is the other point about not just socioeconomic classifications, but also the underestimation of the young and also the more educated classes. Which tends to be true if you're, again, benchmarking relative to the 2015 population census, but that was 7 years ago. Again, you will have to recognize that all those numbers also change across time. Now, but even if you're going to use those as your benchmark and claim that that Pulse Asia may have underrepresented these groups, the way to do this would be to adjust the estimates. They're known as post-stratification. So you actually make sure that you use your benchmarks and then you try to adjust them upward or downward depending on the proper weights. Now, unfortunately, the new numbers, when I saw the data presented by Pulse Asia yesterday, suggested that the young and also the more educated groups tend to be more pro-bongbong than the rest of the other groups. So even if we do make some adjustments, actually, it will be an adjustment upward for the share of bongbong supporters.
All right. Meanwhile, I think what may also add to the confusion of people is that some surveys are commissioned and therefore paid, and so they don't trust these surveys coming out. But even then, would one be able to say even the commissioned surveys are partisan, favoring one side over the other?
Well, the thing is, the question is whether or not the commissioned surveys, are they just being paid and to do the work, or are they being paid to change the question slightly to make it appear as though the candidate is better off than it is. So that's why it's going to be important for all organizations to really, as per law, by the way, the Fair Election Act demands that all survey organizations inform the public about who is paying for all these surveys. Now, that being said, some organizations, again, that's the reason why they have reputations, they have track records. Even if some politician or some group, paid for the survey, it provided that there is no, tweaking of methodologies, of questionnaires, of the way questions are asked, then I don't really see any difference. I mean, the organization must just make sure that they say it in public that this survey was commissioned, and as far as I understand it, at least for SWS and Pulse Asia, they will not release commissioned survey results. What happens usually is it is the one who commissioned the survey who releases it, especially if it's favoring them. I don't think overall the storyline will really be, if you let SWS or Pulse Asia, which tend to be very reputable organizations that are doing good work, I don't think it will matter.
Mm-hmm. Well, some have made their own computations. Because they don't believe in the surveys, they don't believe in Google Trends, they're looking at the local results of the local elections in the past few years. So they're thinking that, and this is recirculating on social media as well, that if you have, let's say, 67.5 million registered voters for this year, and you follow their surveys, and I hope you can indulge me in this, Professor, 56%, let's say, if we followed Pulse Asia, 56% would vote for Marcos today, 23% for VP Robredo, and let's say that we have an 81% turnout for the elections, just like in 2016, then you'd have almost 30 million voters for Marcos and 12.5 million votes for Robredo. But her supporters say this is improbable because she can't have less votes than in 2016, which was 14 million. Is that a valid...
Why is it, why do we assume that she will have more than the votes that she had?
Correct.
That's the whole point. I mean, even the 14 million people who voted for the vice president, there's no assurance that they will vote the same way. It may be possible that there are new dynamics. Some of them may actually like, this is a story, in fact, that I was saying, that, you know, it's really Sara Duterte that we should be out looking for. It seems that it's not even an issue about Bongbong itself winning, but really Bongbong winning mainly because of Sara, you know. So I'm not too sure that's a good way to, you know, I mean, you can always assume, but then are your assumptions valid?
And this is a different ball game altogether. This is for the presidential race and not for the vice presidential race as back in 2016. Now,
And the other thing too there is that, you know, the vice president was part of the Liberal Party, which was the administration party. So they had the machinery, you know. Now she does not have any machinery, so she cannot assure us. She cannot hold on to that. I mean, she does from her rallies. It does appear that she does have a very strong following, very loyal, very passionate people. But it does not mean anything. You know, it does not mean that all of this translates to votes necessarily. I mean, if you look at years ago, I remember Brother Eddie Villanueva had the biggest ever rally meeting the Avance. 2 million showed up. But did he win?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we actually do have on graphics the numbers here all the way from the elections in the past 30 years. Now, some political pundits and observers were onto strategy now, and that years of organic campaigning by Marcos had resulted in this popularity. But Robredo supporters are still counting on a come-from-behind victory, just the way now President Duterte did. Could either or both be possible at this time? Marcos or Robredo to the presidency?
Well, again, as I said, you know, earlier, anything is always possible. And to use the words of Pulse Asia's President Ronnie Holmes, now that people can always change their minds still, and, you know, whatever, you know. However, you know, people tend to be predictable. I mean, at least for me, that's my task as a statistician, to be able to make sense of data. And unfortunately for me, when I've been examining survey data, not just surveys of you know, opinion polls, but many surveys, I've done a little bit of homework, and unfortunately, it does say that things will be tough. I mean, it's still possible, as I said, anything is always possible. You know, in fact, when I had some Facebook polls earlier and yesterday about the polls, some very avid supporters of the vice president were really saying, well, we still think that, you know, the surveys will be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Finally, we don't have any more time, but Professor, business and other observers are worried that an indecisive result or a contested one could bring turmoil to the markets and operations here. Some had already warned that whoever wins, there would be some kind of mass action. How do we make sure that the election results would be a convincing and peaceful one for all sides? And what do you expect of all candidates to make sure that their supporters accept the result of the vote?
Well, I think that the most critical thing here are the candidates themselves. After the election, everybody must recognize and the outcome, regardless of, you know, of you wanting to win. Even me, I might have a voter preference, but as a voter, I don't say it publicly, because sometimes I say it, but I don't mean to campaign. I mean, I just say it when I'm being asked, who will you vote for? You know, I mean, so it's just a matter of freedom of speech. However, that being said, after May 9, whoever wins, being part of government, it is my duty to actually make sure that I support whoever is president, because whoever is president will have a lot of problems from COVID and all of the other development problems that we've already had even before COVID. So it's important that we come together as a nation, that all of our candidates you know, express that, you know, that it is time to heal, that, you know, it's time to unify, to actually work together. And I think that's the whole, that's the challenge that we will be having for candidates and for their supporters, to try to find a way of making sense that we are a community, that we are one nation. We may differ with each other, you know, on election day, but after elections, it's time for us to come together.
Good words to take to heart. 6 days before the elections, Professor Jose Ramon Albert of the PIDS, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Up next, the highlights of the first round of COMELEC's presidential and vice presidential panel interviews. Dateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us. And you're still watching Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at the headlines. Pulse Asia not ruling out changes in voter preference on Election Day, despite its latest survey result showing Ferdinand Marcos Jr. still enjoying a big lead. President Duterte will not endorse a possible successor for the May 9 polls. The Prosecutor General isn't withdrawing its drug cases against detained Senator Laila de Lima, despite the recantation of two witnesses. And President Duterte orders an immediate stop to online cockfighting. COMELEC Chairman Saidamin Pangurangan witnesses the final testing and sealing of vote counting machines in San Juan City. Let's get an update from our correspondent RG Cruz. RG, good afternoon. What do you have for us?
Good afternoon, Rain. This morning, Chairman Saidamin Pangurangan of the Commission on Elections witnessed one field testing and sealing, or one final testing and sealing session here at the San Juan Elementary School. And at the end of the process, according to him, he described it as flawless because the process went by without a hitch. So from the getting or retrieval of the machines and the supplies from the supply area or the storage area behind me all the way to the classrooms here at this school where they were tested by the electoral boards. Now, during the testing, which Chairman Pangarungan witnessed, the boxes or the machines were unboxed. And then they went through the security protocols, and then they had 10 FTS ballots that were marked as such. And then they had voters use those FTS ballots and cast their votes so that these can be tested by the machine. So everything went by without a process, so without a hitch. So at the end of the process, Chairman Pangarungan hailed it as being flawless. And he hopes that the field or the final testing and sealing all over the country this week will help boost the credibility and acceptability of the election results on Monday. And according to the COMELEC, as I said earlier, the final testing and sealing is scheduled this week in all precincts all over the country. Rain?
Thank you so much for that report. RG Cruz from San Juan. Now, presidential aspirant Norberto Gonzalez says careful considerations should be made before hiking the minimum wage of workers. Speaking at the Commission on Elections' final voter education series, Gonzalez asserts wage increases should depend on the condition of the economy. Various groups earlier said the next administration should prioritize pay hikes for laborers, saying the real value of salaries has remained flat for the last two decades.
Hindi basta-basta tayo mag-wage increase. Depende yan sa takbo ng ating ekonomiya. Kaya depende kung makikita natin na kaya nang i-absorb ng ekonomiya ang pagtataas ng wage increase. Siyempre, yan ang kauna-unahan nating prioridad. Pero huwag naman na basta lang tayo mag-wage increase, baka buwagsak naman ng ekonomiya. Hindi po pwede yung ganyan. Pag-aaralan natin mabuti yan.
Still on the COMELEC panel interviews, presidential aspirant Leonie de Guzman again pushes for a six-hour workday for the local workforce. The labor leader says a six-hour workday will not only increase productivity, it will also create more jobs.
Kung 6 hours na lang, may 42 million tayong manggagawa ngayon. Bawasan natin ng 2 hours, baka pag-create tayo ng 12 million ng panibagong manggagawa. Yung first ship, second ship, third ship tayo ngayon, magawin natin fourth ship yung ating mga, yung ating trabaho sa mga kumpanya. Kasi dapat makinabang ang mga manggagawa sa mga sa pag-unlad ng teknolohiya, kasi parte ang mga manggagawa sa pagtuklas nito.
His running mate Walden Bellio also has some ideas on how to improve Filipinos' working conditions.
Dapat talaga itaas ang sahod, 750 minimum. Pangalawa, yung buwagin na yung contractualization, no? At pangatlo, yung mga manpower agencies, let's get rid of them, no? Kasi the problem really is now yung, you know, yung profitability, no, is really just being monopolized by a few, no? Habang yung the majority talagang naghihirap ngayon. We really need to perform all of this support measures for the working class. Kasi hindi lang social justice yan.
Yeah.
Kasi if you don't give income around, spread it around, redistribute income, your economy is not going to grow.
Well, President Rodrigo Duterte maintains he will not endorse any presidential candidate as his successor. The chief executive says he wants a clean and honest elections where Filipinos will not be intimidated or forced to vote for a certain candidate. Duterte, whose daughter Sara is running for vice president, also urged his cabinet members not to endorse any political bets as much as possible.
Wala akong kandidato pagka-presidente ngayon hanggang Disyembre para ano ninyo na wala kami, even the cabinet. Hindi ko naman sila pinagbabawalan. Na sinabi ko, kung maari lang, kayo mag-remain neutral lang rin. Kung may kandidato ka, just keep it to yourself and vote. But let us avoid endorsing any candidate.
The 2022 presidential elections will be the first time Filipinos would be casting their votes amid a pandemic. Jeff Canoy tells us what we can expect and the health protocols to keep in mind come May 9.
It's a historic election in more ways than one, as Filipinos, for the first time, will vote for its next set of national leaders during a pandemic. Which is why voters will be greeted with new polling procedures on Election Day. The Commission on Elections, or COMELEC, says it's important that those who have the means should already check their polling precinct online using their precinct finder. On Election Day, voters will be welcomed in schools and other polling places by a voter's assistance table where they'll receive a voter's information sheet. It's also where you can manually look for your designated precinct. A 1 meter distance between voters will be implemented in queues. There's no need to bring IDs, but the COMELEC says it will help if you bring one in case of any problems.
Hindi na kailangan. So long as your names are found po doon sa listahan sa labas ng presinto, doon sa labas ng sa mismong polling place, doon sa mismong pagpasok pa lamang, at ang pangalan nyo ay nasa loob ng presinto doon sa libro, na ang tawag natin doon ay EDCVL, may picture po kayo doon, may fingerprint, may pirma, ay makakaboto po kayo kahit wala kayong ipakitang valid ID.
There's no dress code, but the COMELEC says voters should wear face masks during the process as part of health and safety protocols. Temperature checks will be conducted upon entry in polling places. If you register a temperature of 37 degrees Celsius or higher, you'll be asked to step aside and will be rechecked after a few minutes.
May mga nararamdaman po, huwag po kayong mag-alala. Sabi nga po natin, hindi natin ipagtatabuyan o pauuwiin yung mga taong may nararamdaman na maaaring simptomas ng COVID-19. Pero mas maganda po, yung mismo kukuha sa inyo ng temperature, para sa temperature check, kasi isa-isa pa rin po silang kukuhanan ng kanila pong temperatura, eh maganda masabi nyo na po yung mga nararamdaman dahil meron naman po tayong isolation polling precinct.
Those who have COVID-like symptoms or those whose temperatures register above 37 degrees Celsius after rechecks will be brought to an area called an isolation polling precinct, where they will meet assisters wearing protective gear. identified voters will sit in the area and their ballots will be brought to them from their respective precincts.
Wala po silang makikitang makina doon sa mismong isolation polling precinct na yan. Bakit po? Sapagkat ang gagawin po dyan, yung lahat ng mga balota ng mga botante natin na maaaring naka-isolate o dahil maaaring mataas ang temperatura o may simptomas ng COVID-19 ay pagpapatungpatungin po. Yan naman po ay kita lahat ng mga watchers na naandun din, ang observers na naandun din. At the end of the day, pag natapos na po yung pagboto, yan po ngayon ay tsaka dadalhin po doon sa presinto kung saan ang galing yung mismong botante.
For those heading to regular voting precincts, they will be allowed to bring in a list of their chosen candidates. Mobile phones will also be allowed inside and can be used if you listed down your candidates there. But the agency says voters shouldn't take photos of their ballots and are discouraged to take selfies inside. On your ballot, shade in the circles appropriately. Double check before marking your choice. It's okay to undervote, but not to overvote. One for president, one for vice president, 12 for senators.
Ayun yung hindi nyo type na iboto lahat yun, okay lang po na kulang, pero wag naman sosobra sa 12 dahil mababaliwala ang boto nyo sa posisyon na yun lamang. Hindi po mababaliwala yung boto nyo sa buong balota kung hindi yung posisyon lamang na iyon. So wag pong sosobra kahit na kulang.
One vote for a party list. The choices will be found at the back of your ballot. In 2019, the COMELEC says there were many who weren't able to vote for a party list because they didn't check the back of the ballot. After you finish shading your choices, use the ballot secrecy folder and bring your ballots to the vote counting machines or VCMs. No one else should feed the ballot into the machine except you.
Huwag po kayong matatakot at kahit na ano po ang kahit na yung pong ipapasok mo yung pinaka nasa ilalim ng balota yun ang mauna o yung nauna yung nasa ibabaw ng balota o kaya yung likod ang naipasok niyo, huwag po kayong mag-alala. Yan pong lahat ng yan ay papasok sa makina at mapipicturean po yan ng machine. Ngayon po, kung sakali pong biglang na-reject yung inyong balota for whatever reason, ay huwag po kayong kakabahan, huwag po kayong aalis kaagad. Bibigyan po ng 4 beses na pagkakataon para maipasok muli ang balota sa mismong makina.
If there's a hitch in your voting process, you can ask your precinct to take a record of the incident in their minutes. You can also file a complaint with the electoral board. Once you're done, don't forget the indelible ink as proof that you took part in the democratic process. Jeff Canoy, ABS-CBN News.
The Justice Department not withdrawing its drug cases against detained re-electionist Senator Laila De Lima. That's despite recent retractions by 2 key witnesses, the latest of which was former Corrections Bureau official Rafael Ragos. Ragos claims he was coerced by former Justice Secretary Vitaliano Aguirre and state prosecutors into implicating De Lima in the illegal drug trade. Prosecutor General Benedicto Malcontento hopes they will be given a chance to cross-examine Ragos in court.
Who are we to say that the statement now of Ragos is not also coerced? In the course of time, in the years to come, it is also a possibility that Ragos will claim, I was also coerced. Mm-hmm. Or something may have happened here. So this matters, Mike, is best left to the discretion of the court because it is only the courts now which can weigh the affidavits and the magnitude, the credibility of Ragos.
The Justice Department will leave it up to the Office of the Ombudsman to probe Ragos' claim of coercion and intimidation. But in the meantime, Malcontento says there will be no changes to the prosecution team handling De Lima's cases.
These things did not happen. And so mm-hmm. far as Prosecutor Taliping is concerned. Unless there is an evidence here, acceptable evidence that a member of the prosecution panel is would be held liable. But as of the moment, everything is premature. The membership of the panel stay.
And let's now head to Marikina, where a polling center is conducting the final testing and sealing of vote counting machines. Vivian Guya has that story. Vivian, go ahead.
Hi, Rain. Vote counting machines, or VCMs, in Marikina City underwent final testing and sealing this morning to assure voters and candidates of the machine's integrity. Marikina District 2 Acting Election Officer, or District 1 Acting Election Officer, Bryant Bukaw, says based on the initial reports received, most VCMs performed accurately in counting votes from the test ballots. These include the VCMs in San Roque Elementary School in Marikina City, as reflected on the voter verifiable paper audit trail. In one precinct, 10 test ballots were fed. Under votes were counted accurately. Over votes, on the other hand, were invalidated or not counted by the machine for the specific position where it was made. Other scenarios were tested, including putting unnecessary marks, dirt, or a slight tear on a portion of the test ballot. One even tried to use a regular pen in shading the oval. Still, the machine accepted the said ballots and votes were read accurately. But when a watcher tried to put a mark on the QR code of the ballot, it was rejected by the VCM. A member of the polling center's electoral board, Jane Farinas, reminds voters to be careful not to mark or put any smudge on the QR code of their ballot. After the FTS, the VCMs were re-zeroed so that votes counted during the FTS are deleted. The machines were sealed and stored in a room guarded by uniformed personnel. Bukaw says of the district's 162 vote counting machines, two have so far reported defective and will soon be replaced. Rain, back to you.
Thank you so much for that report, Vivian Guglia from Marikina. Well, President Duterte orders an immediate stop to the operations of online cockfighting, or e-sabong. During his taped speech aired this morning, Duterte revealed he approved the recommendation of Interior Secretary Eduardo Anyo to do away with e-sabong despite the huge revenue it generates for government.
Yung amin lamang sana, buwis silang ang hinabol namin dito. Sinabi ko na sa inyo. 640 million is 640 million, but may naririnig na ako loud and very clear to me that it was working against the our values, and yung impact sa pamilya pati sa tao. Eh, ang labas, hindi na natutulog yung sabongero 24 hours. So, isabong will end by tonight. Bukas. Lalabas ito bukas.
Well, the president was previously hesitant to stop e-sabong operations, citing the revenues. But the industry has been rocked by controversy following the abduction of several men involved in cockfighting. Meanwhile, Senator Grace Poe says Duterte's order will give authorities more time to study the effects brought about by e-sabong. A low-pressure area is seen to bring rains over most of Mindanao, but it's unlikely to develop into a storm. ABS-CBN's resident meteorologist Ariel Rojas joins us for the latest weather update. Ariel, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Rain. The low-pressure area was last located 285 kilometers east-southeast of General Santos City. It is embedded along the Intertropical Convergence Zone, or ITZZ. These two weather systems are bringing rainy weather in Caraga, Davao Region, and Northern Mindanao. At 10 a.m., PAGASA issued yellow heavy rainfall warning level in Northern Davao Oriental, Southern Surigao del Sur, and Southeastern Agusan del Sur. Rains are expected this afternoon as well in some parts of Eastern and Central Visayas and the rest of Mindanao. Flooding and landslides are likely in these areas. Meanwhile, the LPA is not likely to develop into a tropical depression as it will dissipate in the coming days while tracking westward. Apart from this LPA, no other weather disturbance is seen to affect the country until after the elections next week. Meanwhile, a stationary front will continue to drench Batanes and Babuyan Islands until Thursday, and the warm easterlies also continues to blow over the rest of the country, bringing humid conditions. Severe thunderstorms will be experienced this afternoon until evening in Ilocos Region, Cordillera, Cagayan Valley, and Central Luzon. And over here in Metro Manila, there will be occasions of cloudiness, but rain chance remains low. That's the latest on the weather. This is Ariel De Rojas. Back to you, Ray.
Thank you so much, Ariel. Tragedy in the Ukrainian port city of Odessa as a teenage boy is killed in a missile strike by Russia. The city council said another girl was also hospitalized in the strike that hit a residential building with five people in it. Odessa has seen increased assaults by Moscow in recent weeks as Russian forces regrouped to attack Ukraine's southern and eastern regions. Late last month, five people were killed, including a three-month-old baby, in a Russian strike on the city. The ramped-up attacks come as the U.S. accuses Russia of planning to annex two eastern regions of Ukraine after failing to overthrow Kyiv's government. According to a U.S. official, Russia is planning to engineer two referenda in mid-May for the annexations of the Donetsk and Luhansk regions. The official adds Russia is considering a similar plan in a third region, Kherson, which has been under Moscow's control since March.
Such sham referenda, fabricated votes, will not be considered legitimate, nor will any attempts to annex additional Ukrainian territory.
Russia made a similar move in 2014 when it annexed the Crimea Peninsula. Back here at home, more areas in the Philippines have been placed under the least stringent COVID alert level 1. These are Nueva Vizcaya, Misamis Occidental, Talisay City and Cebu, Antipas, North Cotabato, and Pangas, South Cotabato. It will be effective starting today, May 3, until the 15th. A group of private hospitals hopes the public would still comply with the health protocols amid the threat of emerging Omicron subvariants. But it says it is ready for another possible COVID surge.
Sa mga private hospitals po, halos po konti ang mga nagpa-positive po. At yung pong nagpa-positive talaga, karamihan dito ay yung mga immunocompromised na nagkakaroon lang po, siguro nahahawala, nagpa-positive. At yun po, ang mga hospitals naman po ay lagi nakahanda. Kung sakali man talaga magkaroon ng surge, kung epekto man ito ng ating mga rallies at saka ng eleksyon, ay ang mga ospital naman po, hindi naman po nila sinara yung kanilang mga COVID wards. Ano po, nakahanda po yun.
In sports, the Miami Heat cruised to a 106-92 victory in their second round series opener against the undermanned Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers, who missed injured MVP contender Joel Embiid, actually led at halftime, but the Heat outscored them 30-21 in the third quarter to seize control. Tyler Hero led Miami with 25 points, while Bam Adebayo added 24 markers and 12 rebounds. Tobias Harris led the Sixers with 27 points. Now before we go, the year's biggest night in fashion, the Met Gala, returns to its pre-pandemic schedule Monday in New York. Some 400 famous names from the worlds of music, film, fashion, sports, and more are expected to grace the event. Among the early arrivals were Vogue editor-in-chief Anna Wintour, actress Blake Lively, and singers John Batiste and Shawn Mendes. For more on the story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Rain Musni. If you want to visit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, everyone, as you keep it here on the News Channel.